All right, so tonight we are finishing up this super short series on spiritual growth, and this month we've just simply looked at what is spiritual growth, and the fact that spiritual growth, when it's all said and done, last week we said it happens in small steps. And so often we tend to think that spiritual growth is about doing big things and making big proclamations, when in reality, true growth happens when we decide to just take a small step. And sometimes those small steps in the right direction can be even more difficult than making the giant proclamations. And so last week, as a kind of a visual reminder that just growth happens in small steps, I had you guys plant some seeds. And I've set those seeds in my office in front of my window, which is not the most ideal conditions for seeds to grow, but some of them have sprouted. I've kept them watered, and some of the seeds have sprouted. But still, these seeds, they've taken a few steps in growth. You can see, like, some of them are probably an inch and a half tall, but they're still a very, very long way from producing fruit or from being fully mature. We planted flowers and acorn squash. They're a long way from being flowers or actually producing the acorn squash. And so the question tonight is, how do we take further steps? And what needs to happen in our lives in order for spiritual growth to happen? And here's the truth. We take small steps in order for us to grow. But in taking those steps, something really important has to happen inside of us. We have to be honest with ourselves. In order to grow, we have to know where we are at personally. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we are so that we can take a step in the right direction and get to where we're going. In the book of 1 Timothy, Paul, who is a guy that started a whole bunch of churches in the New Testament and wrote a whole bunch of letters to those churches, which make up the books that make up our New Testament. He is writing to a guy named Timothy. And Timothy was this young guy that was leading a church in Ephesus. And Timothy was a guy that had joined Paul and had started a whole bunch of churches with Paul. And Timothy was now leading this church. And so the whole book of 1 Timothy is just super, super practical about Timothy. Here's how to live a life of growth. And here's how to encourage the people in your churches to live lives of growth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the end of verse 7 and going into verse 8, it says this: train yourself for a holy life. While physical training has some value, training in holy living is useful for everything. It has promise for this life now and in the life to come. I love that Paul compares spiritual growth and being mature in our faith to physical training. When I was in middle school and high school, there was one thing that I trained for. I won't say more than anything else, but I did it a lot. I trained for this quite a bit, and that was this: holding my breath. I know that seems weird, but I went to the pool a whole lot as a kid, and so I always liked being in the pool, and I always enjoyed being under the water. And so at some point, I don't remember when, I decided, you know, I think I'm going to try to hold my breath as long as possible. Anybody done that? All right. So you could say, yeah, that's cool. And so, but I took it a step further. Like, I practiced and I found different techniques that would work for me. And I tried my best to hold my breath as long as I possibly could. Now, there is one really important thing about training to hold your breath. And that is being honest with yourself about how much longer you can hold your breath. I remember being under the water, and if you hold your breath long enough under the water, you can start to feel your stomach and your chest kind of heave a little bit, like your lungs are kind of gasping for air. And if you're honest with yourself, you know you probably need to get to the surface at that point, because you're going to end up taking a breath of water and you're going to drown. And if you're not honest and you're like, I can stay under the water 5-10 more seconds, and then you drown, that's kind of a big bummer, right? You don't want to die by trying to hold your breath. And so it's important that when you're training for stuff, that you're honest with yourself and you know where you're at. And while holding your breath is, you know, it's kind of cool, whatever, if that's up your alley. Being honest with yourself there is important. But being honest with yourself and training to live a life that is holy is so important. Now, holy, this is a word that we don't use very often. It's kind of a word that Christians throw out, and like, we expect everybody to understand what it means. But if we were like, hey, what's the definition of holy, and how do you live a holy life? It kind of gets jumbled a little bit. And so I'm going to throw out to you guys my personal definition of holy. And I spent some time really thinking about this and wordsmithing this and trying to figure out what's the best way to describe how to live a holy life. When Paul says train for a holy life, what does that mean? It means this. It means that we are training and we are continuing to become the people Christ created us to be. The best possible life that we can live on this earth is the life that God created us to live. And so we should continually be improving, continually be training to become the person and more of the person that God created us to be. And so when Paul says, train for a holy life, he's saying, listen, God created a life that is specific to you. He has some plans for you. He has some things he wants you to accomplish. He has some ways he wants you to live. Let's train to live that life. And if we're going to train to live that life, if we're going to take steps in the direction of living a life that is holy, of becoming more the person that God wants us to be, if that's our end goal, we want to become the person God created us to be, then we've got to know where we're at right now. We've got to be honest with ourselves and taking steps to become the person God created us to be requires us to be honest. In training, we have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at in comparison to where we want to be. In training, we have to be honest with ourselves about where we are right now in comparison to where we want to be. Whether that is training to live a holy life, whether that is training for a marathon. Are you guys listening? Alden, Nolan, are you listening? You guys are laughing an awful lot. Whether that is training for a marathon, whether that is training to hold your breath, or whether that's training for a holy life, knowing where you're at in comparison to where you want to be is super, super important. And so I trained to hold my breath, and there were a few different ways that I did this. When I first started, I just thought it was cool to be able to hold my breath. And so what I would do is I would take a big breath, and I would like kind of jump up and sink under the water. And then just kind of like I tried to stay near the bottom of the pool, like 5 foot in. There was just something about being like all the way down at the bottom that I thought was cool. And so like I would kind of do the, I don't know, I forget what you call it, where you float. But I would keep my hands and my legs out and try to keep myself down near the bottom of the pool. And then I would come back up and be like, oh, that was so awesome. Like just the quiet of being under the water and the noise being canceled out by the water. Something pretty cool about that. And so I would practice this for a little bit, but I very quickly realized, if I'm going to be honest with myself about where I was in holding my breath, that going like this with my arms and my legs was using a whole lot of energy, and it was wasting the amount of energy that I could be using to keep the breath in my lungs. And so I decided to take a step in the right direction of being able to hold my breath further. And so I did what I thought was best at the time, and I decided to just float like a dead person on top of the water. And so I would take a deep breath, and I would float just like this as long as I could. And that worked well for a little bit, and I practiced that for a long time. And then I realized, if I'm honest with myself, there's some things that I could do a little bit better. And I realized that if I wanted to hold my breath even longer, that I could kind of hyperventilate myself a little bit before I hold my breath. So if I took like 3 or 4 huge breaths, every time you take a breath like that, your lungs expand a little bit further. So I would do that like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. And then I would take a giant breath and I would sink down like this and just let myself lay there like a person on the water. But I realized And I practiced that for a really long time. Practice, practice, practice. Every time I was in the pool, I just thought, man, this is so cool. Like, I'm holding my breath longer than anybody else. This is awesome. But I realized, if I'm honest with where I'm at, even floating on top of the water, I was still like kind of moving myself to keep myself stable. And so I took one final step in my holding breath career, if you will. And I decided that the best thing that I could do was find a ladder or an entrance ramp with a railing, and I would hyperventilate myself a few times, and then I would go under the water, and I would grab on, and I would just sit completely still and just stay there, holding my breath as long as possible. And I practiced, and I practiced, and I practiced that. Now, did you guys see the pattern there? We practice and we practice and we practice, and then we take a step back and we're honest with ourselves. And we make not a huge correction, just a slight correction, and we take a step in the right direction. And we practice and we practice and we practice, and we take a step back and we look at ourselves, and we're honest with ourselves, we realize where we're at, and we take a step in the right direction. And we practice and we practice and we practice, and we look at ourselves and we're honest with ourselves about where we're at, and we take a step in the right direction. Training to hold your breath, it's just like training for holy life. It's just like training to become the people that God created us to be. We practice and we practice and we do our best to be the person that God created us to be, and then we take a step back and we say, all right, let's be honest with myself. Where am I at? What's one small step I can take? And we take that step. Not a giant step, not a giant leap, like I'm going to make a radical change overnight, just a small step in the right direction. And then awesome. Back on. Sweet. So we practice and we practice and we practice, and then we take a step back and look at our lives and we realize, hey, where am I at? Where can I take another step? And step after step after step, we grow. And it's not about these giant leaps. It's not about making huge changes overnight. It's about being honest with ourselves and taking a step in the right direction. So we practice, we be honest with ourselves. We take a step, we repeat. We practice, we be honest with ourselves. We take a step, and then we repeat. Paul recognized the importance of this pattern right here as he wrote to Timothy. He realized if we're going to train for a holy life, it's going to take some practice, it's going to take being honest, and it's going to take some adjustment. And so he wrote this to Timothy just a few verses after the verses we read earlier. He said this. Practice these things and live by them so that your progress will be visible to all. Focus on working on your own development and on what you teach. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. We are called to practice. We're called to practice training for this life that we were created to live. We go and we do our best every single day. And there are days that are going to be better than others, and there are days that are going to be worse than others. But we get out there and we continue to practice. We continue to do our very, very best, the best that we can possibly do. And when you do this, two things start to happen. First of all, he says, your progress will be visible to all. Two things happen. First, your progress is going to be visible. When I started holding my breath, I was just a normal kid underwater. But as I held my breath longer, I had to get some friends around me because as I floated like this, people started getting concerned about a kid just floating on top of the water. And like people would tap me and be like, hey, you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just holding my breath. And so I had to get some friends around me and be like, hey, you know, I'm just holding my breath. Not only did my friends start to notice, but other random people started to notice. I will never forget I was on vacation, and my dad and I were in the pool, and we were the only people in the pool. And I was like, all right, Dad, I'm going to hold my breath. I want you to keep time, keep track on your watch of how long I hold my breath. And at this point, I was holding my breath, not 23 minutes like the guy on the screen, but I was okay. I was holding my breath for like a little over 4 minutes. All right? And so I took some breaths. I jumped up. I got under the water. I grabbed onto this pole, and I'm just hanging out there for like 4 minutes, just sitting there at the bottom of the pool thinking, this is pretty cool. This is awesome. And I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, I feel my dad reach down and like yank on my shoulder, be like, dude. And he pulled me up real quick. What I didn't know while I was sitting under the water was that a family that was also on vacation came down with their little boy. And this little boy kind of came down to the pool and looked around and saw me under the water and saw that I wasn't coming up and saw that I wasn't coming up and that my dad was standing next to me. And then he looked at my dad with this look of sheer terror, like, you are just standing next to this kid that's drowning. What is going on? And when you start to practice, you become visible. You become visible to people, people that you know and people that you don't know. And when you practice living a holy life, that's one of the byproducts, is that people are going to see the changes that you're making. It may be small steps at a time, but it's going to become visible. It's going to become something that people are like, wow, what is going on in your life? And so we practice and we be honest with ourselves and we take a step. We practice and we be honest with ourselves and we take a step. And we get better and people start to see the difference. Second thing that happens, Paul says in this verse, is that not only will your progress be visible, but you will save yourself and you will save those who hear you. You'll save yourself and you'll save those who hear you. You guys, if the best possible life that we can live on this earth is a life that follows Jesus, is the life we were created to live. I mean, think about it. When something is created for a purpose, the best thing that you can do with that thing is what it was created for, to use it for its purpose. You were created for a purpose. You were created for this incredible life that God created you specifically to live. The best life you can live on this earth is that life. And if we are striving for that life, if we are practicing for that life, and we may not get it every day. Are you listening, Timmy? We may not get it every day, but we're going to get further and further and further that direction. And if we're going the right direction, we're not going the wrong direction. We're saving ourselves. Jesus is saving us. We are living the life we were created to live. And along the way, not only do we save ourselves, but we save other people. People are going to take notice. People are going to want the life that you have. People are going to want to be around you and experience your love, because the love of Jesus will just flow through you, will exude out of you. And the truth is that it all comes back to growth. It all comes back to growth. It all comes back to those small steps. I brought these seeds back with me tonight, and you can see some of them are sprouting. Some of my favorite moments in watching seeds sprout is what a couple of these are doing right now. And during small groups, you guys can come up and look at these. But if you look at a couple of these, like this one right here, and this one right here, you can see the seed that you planted is busted open and hanging out on the top leaf of this plant. I think it's just so cool that you can see the seed that you planted has pushed up and there's stuff that's come out of the seed and it's busted through and you can see the seed hanging out there on the top leaf of that plant. Here's the deal. Seeds themselves, they can't do a whole lot. And a seed could look at itself And as you shove it down in the dirt and it sits alone in the darkness, if it had a brain like humans, it would have a decision to make. It could say, all right, I got this. I got this all on my own. I can handle this. I don't need anything. Or it could be honest with itself. It could be honest and it could say, you know what? I probably need to take a step. I probably need to plant some roots. I probably need to push up through the soil. And what needs to happen in order for that seed to take a step, and if you look here, you can see this in these seeds. What needs to happen is that seed has to break open. It has to become a little weak. And here's what happens to us, is a lot of times taking a step in our spiritual growth means admitting some areas that we're weak. Every step along the way of me practicing holding my breath, I had to say, all right, I'm weak in this area. I'm moving around too much. I need to take a step. I'm weak in this area. I'm not getting enough air in my lungs. I've got to get more air in my lungs. But a lot of times when it comes to spiritual growth, we assume that weakness means utter destruction. But the truth is that when we are honest with ourselves, we're like a seed. It doesn't mean our utter destruction. It just means we're prepared for growth. There's a huge difference between utter destruction and being prepared for growth. And a lot of times we look at our lives and we say, man, if I'm really honest about my weaknesses, then I'm ruining myself. Just because you admit your weaknesses, just because you work on those areas, does not mean you're ruined. It means you're prepared for growth. You're ready to shoot up through the soil. You're ready to take that next step. And as I look at these seeds, I see seeds that were honest. And they said to themselves, if seeds could talk, if I hold on to this and myself and the way life is right now too tightly that I don't bust open, I don't admit my weaknesses, I'm never going to grow. It's only when we're honest with ourselves, it's only when we admit our weaknesses that we truly grow. Just because we acknowledge our own weaknesses does not mean we're irreparably damaged. It means we're prepared for growth. Just because we acknowledge our weaknesses doesn't mean we're irreparably damaged. It means we're prepared for growth. Just because you have some things to work on doesn't mean you are completely messed up forever. It just means you're growing. Just because you've got some things in your life that you need to take a step in the right direction doesn't mean that you've messed up your entire life. It means you're growing. Let's grow. Let's grow. Let's be like a seed that says, all right, I'm going to break myself open. I'm going to admit some weaknesses to trusted adults and trusted people and people that will help me grow. Not to everybody, but I'm going to admit some weaknesses. I'm going to grow. I'm going to take a step in the right direction. I'm going to push up through the soil. I'm going to allow God to work through me. And then when we get to this point and we've pushed up through the soil, we take another step and another step and another step and another step until we become more and more and more living the life that God created us to live. When we acknowledge our weaknesses, it does not mean we are irreparably damaged. It just means we're prepared for growth. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so my question to you guys tonight is, where are you at? If you had to answer that question honestly, if you had to be honest with yourself, what are some areas in your life that you are prepared for growth? Where are some areas that you feel like, man, if I take a step in this direction, it's going to be ridiculously scary? I'm not sure what's next. I don't know what's above the soil line, but I'm ready to take a step in that direction. What are some areas that you can take a step in that direction? Because remember, just because you acknowledge where you need to take a step doesn't mean you're irreparably damaged. It just means you're prepared for growth. Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you for tonight and the chance to be here. God, I thank you for growth.